A reading from Ephesians. I, therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. But each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. He himself granted that some are apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until all of us come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. We must no longer be children, tossed to and fro and blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness and deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth in building itself up in love. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
As I begin this morning, let me go back to the book of Ephesians. We must no longer be children, tossed to and fro and blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness in deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. Well, we seem to have all survived the opening ceremony of the games of the 33rd Olympiad and the 72 hours of constant controversy about the so-called Last Supper tableau. Never mind that it wasn't Christ's Last Supper after all, but rather the feast of Dionysius, the Greek god of winemaking, festivity, and, cover your ears, fertility. But that didn't stop certain French bishops and American evangelicals from being really offended for the sake of the faith. Thus, we had a whole weekend plus full of online hysteria about the decadence of the West and also the destructiveness of the iconoclasts. Truth be told, there was a lot about that opening ceremony I just didn't get. I'm from West Texas. I've never been to Paris, and I have no idea what is in the Louvre. French is still firstly a salad dressing where I come from. But as a kid, I did watch Looney Tunes. Therefore, I was not expecting a ceremony of purity and piety to come from the same people who inspired Pepe Le Pew. Listen, beloved, we are living at the height of a great and some people would say grave culture war. There's a lot of pearl clutching and controversy, and there is plenty with which to offend and about which to be offended. But let us remember also that there is a whole mega billion dollar social media industry that just loves to see us all at one another's throats and in each other's faces and makes a ton of money off of our being so every hour of the day and every day of the year. And it seems like every week of the month, some new culture warrior cuts his teeth on some new controversy, all of which that keep coming out, coming, because the beast called Nielsen is always hungry, and he will eat his own. So with that in mind, hear these words of Ephesians again. We must no longer be children, tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness in deceitful scheming. There's a lot of craftiness and deceitful scheming out there. Sad to say, a lot of it comes from so-called Christian television, publishing, and social media conglomerates. They feed fear. They stir controversy. They divide both the Christ and also the church. But somewhere in the Bible, St. Paul says, Christ is not divided. And Christ's church ought not to be divided so easily either, for as we heard today, there is one Lord, and there is one faith. And there is one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. And to each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. We have been given such tremendous grace by God in Christ. And we are called to give that grace from God in return to our brothers and our sisters in Christ and to everybody else also. We are called to be humble. We are called to be gentle. We are called to be patient and to bear with one another in love and to make every effort to maintain unity in the bond of peace, which I do admit is a very tall task, especially in a presidential election year, when there is plenty of deceitful scheming taking place. As Geraldine Ferraro once said, politics can be an ugly game, and in national elections, the stakes get higher while the tactics get lower. These next several months are likely to see this country being taken lower and lower and lower. Let us, as Christian people, stand for something higher. Let us, at least at Broadway, pledge ourselves to, in Lincoln's words, being about the nobler, the better angels of our nature. I want to be clear, when I speak of peace and unity, I'm not talking about silence or complicity or bland conformity. Anybody who's ever read the Gospels knows Jesus did anything but conform. And inspired by the Spirit of Jesus, the book of Ephesians calls us to be courageous and to speak the truth, but to speak it in the way of Jesus, which is to say, in Ephesians' words, to speak it in love. Such is the tall task set before us in these trying times, to speak prophetic truth with pastoral hearts, to tell the truth, but to tell it in love. That requires a whole lot of courage and conviction and kindness and care. A case in point. A week or so ago, I was talking with a friend. He has a lesbian daughter, and his father-in-law shared something on Facebook that was really, really ugly and anti-gay. My friend talked to his wife, and they decided that something needed to be said, because if their daughter saw what her grandfather had posted online, there would be so much pain. The saving grace was that the granddaughter had not seen it, because Facebook is for mostly old people who don't know how to turn on TikTok, present company included. And it took a lot of courage. It took a lot of courage. But my friend's wife talked with her dad about his post, and when confronted with what he had said, he could hardly believe he had been so bigoted. And he took it down immediately and apologized and said he didn't mean it. He had gotten caught up by people creating memes through craftiness and deceitful scheming, and he needed someone who would speak the truth to him, but speak it in love. That's our call right now. Or think about last week here at Broadway. We had our denominational and ecumenical partner, Fellowship Southwest, with us, talking about issues on our southern border. And at the end of the presentation, Paul Harrell asked a great question. Old journalists do that. What do you say, he asked, when someone says something derisive about the people who are coming across our border in search of a better life? And Anira Cano, the programs and outreach director for Fellowship and someone who is a great friend to me, said she usually answers with a story. She tells a story about someone's life, about a particular family she knows, a Christian family, held at ransom in their own home country by the cartels. She describes their pain and their terror and their desperation that drove them to come to Los Estados Unidos. She talks about their journey and their danger, and their hope that the kindness of some Christian community might extend to them when they arrive on the other side of the river. That's when she said something interesting. She said, oftentimes the people she's talking to in those moments after she's told that story will say something like, well, I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about the others. Well, I think we need to realize, and this is the heart of the Ephesians text this morning, there are no others. These are the ones who are coming across our borders, and they are the ones whom, in craftiness and deceitful scheming, some are out there trying to turn into political pawns for the sake of winning partisan elections. And they are also, let us remember, the ones with whom our scripture this morning says we share one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one father, mother, parent of us all, who is above all and through all and in all. In other words, they are our brothers. They are our sisters. They are our siblings. In this one family we call humanity, and church we call Christ's body, which is not supposed to be divided, because as we read just 2 weeks ago in the same book, Christ has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of history, and has created one new humanity out of himself, thus making peace on the cross between everyone for the sake of all. We are united, beloved, and we must let no one divide us. We are one with God in Christ, with each other, and also with everyone else. We are one new human family. And frankly, it is time that we, well, grow up together as family. We are one body, and it is time that we realize every single one of our members belongs, even the ones, hear me say this, even the ones whom we must find within ourselves the courage to speak truth to in Christ's love. So let us close by reading and hearing the words yet again from the writer of Ephesians one more time. So if you missed everything else I've said this morning, you can take home this. We must no longer be children, tossed to and fro and blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness in deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth in love. We must grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth in building itself up in love. May it be so in this church and in this country, even in this presidential election year of our Lord, 2024. And may God help us. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, mother of us all, and together, all of God's people say together, amen and amen.